Hey, everybody, and welcome to Back to School. This is Kathy Wells, and this is where learning and liberty meets. And today, I have so much on my mind. I don't know if you guys noticed, or maybe, I mean, I'm not sure how you would, but somebody asked me to start uploading YouTube videos, which are somewhat lame because they're just me sitting in my bedroom, and I don't have a green screen to project some kind of awesome background behind me, like the New York skyline. Or the Fort Worth skyline, I guess, or the Decatur, Texas skyline. Anyway, so I started uploading those videos, and I just did so with my personal account. And what I really need to do is create an account for Back to School and just upload those there and rename them and also drag my audio over and blah, 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 whatever. So if you want to check those out, those were done on Cscope, and you can actually look them up under Back to School Cscope, and that'll bring it up. And it's just me talking. So, hey, if you've ever wondered what I look like, that's how you can find out. Okay, so I have been involved in the Cscope thing, and I don't know if you know what it is, but it's a program. It's a curriculum. Well, no. I mean, it depends on who you talk to. It's a scope and sequence. It's really a curriculum that's used in 80% of Texas schools, and some parents are up in arms about it. And when I heard about this, my dad pointed it out to me, and I just felt like I should get involved because my whole mission and purpose is to just help kids who are not advantaged enough to, you know, have a homeschooled education or private school education. They're kind of stuck in the public school system. And so I just wanted to get involved. So I started reading the newspaper articles about it, and my dad kept sending them to me, and then other people started sending them to me, and I called one of the ladies who was listed in the newspaper as kind of one of the experts in the area, and have talked to her several times and received emails from her. And there's a website, I think it's called TXCScope. It's like C, the letter C, and then scopereview.com. And there's a lot of information on there. But it's been really interesting to me because at the same time, I've been in a book club. Hey, all my book club friends. Love you guys. Y'all are great. And we've been reading The Abolition of Man by C.S. Lewis, which is about modern education. And it's Lewis's thoughts on modern education and what exactly is the problem with that. And it lines up very much with classical education in that the point of the education, like the starting point, is that we want to create humans who really appreciate truth, beauty, and virtue. And anyway, so in the course of like trying to figure out this Cscope stuff and trying to figure out what the heck is going on with public school and what it, you know, what is the hierarchy? What's the structure of it? You know, just not understanding exactly why we have such a big problem. I mean, why can't parents just choose what they want and just go with that? And why can't we just have a local public school that says, hey, we want to do classical education, and they just do, you know, and it's no big deal. And so I've talked to several teachers, principals, and just, you know, trying to get information, and it's been really kind of depressing, I'll be honest with you, because I'm so idealistic and I tend to be so simplistic that I really didn't realize the red tape and the bureaucracy involved. I mean, clearly I knew there was bureaucracy involved, but I didn't know there was that much. So, let's see, like one of the most startling things that I discovered, and I'm pretty sure this was accurate, is that the superintendent of your school district picks all the curriculum. I'm not sure exactly what the school board does. I think they like hire the superintendent, but they don't appear to have any choice in curriculum or any input in that or anything like that. So I always kind of thought, you know, the school board was sort of in charge, but really, I think they're mostly just in charge of picking the superintendent. Which seems kind of lame because he's not elected. The school board is elected. This guy is hired. So it's like taking all the power out of the parents' hands because they can't do anything. Like they can't do anything. They can't fire this guy because they're not on the school board. And it's just, it's so, I mean, I would feel really helpless if my kid was in that situation. And what a lot of people are doing in our city, or they're just, you know, leaving the school or going to the local private school. And I think literally in our town only has one, right? So I think they're going to have to grow or we're going to need another one. I hope it's classical. I really do. Okay, so that's been going on. And then, yeah, finding out about the superintendent thing was really shocking. I mean, there's been so much that's been really shocking, but I have had some revelations about an understanding about what C.S. Lewis talks about in his book. And briefly, I'll just tell you real quickly. I mean, I'll summarize that very difficult book. Okay, I have an English degree. That is a very difficult book to read, but I think it's worth it. I'm not trying to discourage anyone from reading it. There's a book that he wrote that was a fictional version of that. What was that called? Isa Reed talks about it in her book. It has an H in the title. Anyway, so this is like the treatise, and then he did a fictional version of it so that you could kind of inculcate the principles in people without freaking them out with all the big words. Anyway, so to sum his book up, what he says is modern education. Now he was writing in, I think this was 1947. Modern education is taking absolute beauty, truth, and virtue, absolute values, out of the minds of children and replacing it with pragmatism. If I could sum up the book in one way, I would say that. And furthermore, it's going to destroy the society. Any society in which that is happening, it will be destroyed. So that's the summation of the book. And he has a lot of good points, and he goes through it philosophically and intellectually, and it's really great. I mean, he lays it all out. So what I've been seeing is I'm studying the C-scope curriculum, and, you know, I've studied all this socialism, and you know what, y'all? I mean, I feel like I've read hours and hours and hours and hours and a half and listened to hours and hours and hours of information on this, and I still don't feel like I've even scratched the surface. Like, I look at my John Taylor Gatto book, and I'm like, I need to go back and read that whole thing again and just take notes, because I've read it, and then when I want to reference something, it's like, oh, where was that? What page was on? Who said that? I feel like I need to commit to memory the really important pieces, because, I mean, that's how you really know something, which is part of the revelation, whatever, that I had. Okay, so, wow, where do I want to go from here? Well, first of all, let me just say that what came together for me, actually, this is on one of my Facebook pages, so I'm just going to kind of reference that. Okay, so to me, there's so many things going on in public school right now, but one of the biggest things to me seems to be the definition of knowledge, what it means to, quote, know something. And in modern and progressive education, the big thing, and this goes all the way back to John Dewey, it goes all the way back to the early behavioral scientists, it goes back to Pestalozzi, it goes back to the Prussian system that we were talking about. I mean, this is all tied back 100, 150, 200 years. What it means to progressives to know something is to experience it. So the inverse of that would be if you don't experience something, it's not true. It can only be true. It's like empiricism or Darwinism. It can only be true if it can be scientifically measured. Well, what does that do to faith and God and religion? I mean, pretty much, you know, chunks that out the window because you can't experience it. And how that would practically look in a classroom would be like the picture that was in our local paper. It'd be four or five students sitting around a table measuring playing cards with a ruler instead of just doing it individually. You know, and it's so funny. I laughed about that. And I told my husband, you know, the next time I need to measure something out in the barn, I'm going to call three or four friends and invite them over so I can measure it. You know, it's so funny. I mean, it's laughable. Why are we structuring things for kids this way? I mean, this is not how life goes. It's just silly. Okay, so basically in progressive education, to experience something is to know it. And I started thinking about what ramifications that has. Because if I have to experience everything to know it, how much time is there in a day? I mean, how much faster is it to tell a child truth than to try to let him experience truth? It takes a lot longer to try to experience all truth. And it also, there's a lot of questioning there. Well, if I don't personally experience this, whatever, then I don't know that it's true. Well, see, what that does right there is that breaks down trust and faith in teachers and in parents and God. I mean, it says, you know, I personally, to know that something's true, I have to personally experience it. I can't just believe that something's true, which is the old paradigm where the teacher is like the authority and has the experience and is instructing the child. So my thoughts on what it means to know something, like if I were going to ask you, what do you know about plumbing? What do you know about ancient Egypt? What do you know about the Civil War? The only kind of answer you can give back to me is whatever you remember, right? So it's essentially what you've memorized. So if you're going to tell me about plumbing, you have to, and you might say, well, you know, pipes are made out of PVC, and you have to have a cleaner, a primer, and PVC cement to put on there. And there's several different types of angles, and you know, you've got different diameters of PVC pipe, and you know, all of that stuff has to be memorized for you to relate it back to me. That's what it means to know something, is to have memorized it. Now, here's the problem. That's actually a good example, because do you know why I know all that stuff about PVC? Is because I've had to work with it. I've had to lay pipe out on the ranch. So that actually comes from experience. I did not sit down to memorize everything about PVC. I actually had to experience it, or I didn't have to. That's how I learned it. So the problem is when progressive educators think that that method to get to memorization is the only method to get to memorization. It's actually probably much, much faster. I'm not going to say probably, it is. It's much, much faster for children to memorize all their math facts than to experiment with every math fact with little counting bears or something every time they do math. We do that in the beginning because their concrete brains need us to do that. But eventually they make the transition that, okay, numbers represent things and I can just add them this way. I can just memorize. I don't have to, every time, I don't have to get out and experience the math fact. It slows education down tremendously to do that. And there's so many things that we can't experience. Like when my children memorize a history sentence about ancient Rome, there's no way they can actually experience that. I mean, we could do a unit study on ancient Rome and just hope, and this is the way a lot of people educate, and just hope they retain something about ancient Rome. But you know, in the end, if your kid studies a year of Texas history or a year of Roman history or whatever, and he comes out of that class and you ask him to tell you about it and he can't, he doesn't know it. That's the bottom line, is to know basically is to memorize and to commit to memory. So what happens in progressive education, and I asked my principal friend a question. I said, how is it that these tests are supposed to be getting harder and the curricula are supposed to be getting harder, yet kids are coming out knowing less? And he kind of got quiet for a minute and he said, well, not a minute, a few seconds. And he said, I don't know. He said, I will tell you this, that a friend of mine said, you know, we put a man on the moon with a slide rule. And I think that really says a lot. I think the basic premise of education, modern education, anything new must be good, is really messed up. I think it's really messed up. I think actually, you know, that again, I remind you that, you know, this podcast is back to school. We must go back, which is not to say we don't have innovation or anything like that, but methodology, we must go back to school and to think about what has worked. I mean, to me, it's kind of asinine. I mean, you look at what's being produced in modern education and you think, gosh, this is, you know, this isn't working. But as my new friend told me, there's semantics that they use to explain, well, it's because the teachers aren't doing it right, or the kids just aren't smart enough yet. I mean, there's all these excuses to explain away this awful curriculum. And it's never the curriculum's fault, you know, it's the blame game. So anyway, yeah, I think that was about, I had some more little revelation there. Okay, so if the progressive ideal refuses non-experiential knowledge, yeah, that's the truth. And the bottom line is it's rooted in socialism, Darwinism, empiricism, the Enlightenment. It's rooted in godlessness, basically. And that's why modern education corrupts. As C.S. Lewis would say, to tie it back into his book, it's outside the Tao. The Tao is what he basically calls absolute truth. The ancients might have called it a priori knowledge. It's outside the Tao, so it ultimately will corrupt the society that it's used in. It's godless in its very nature. It accepts no authority but its own. It sees itself, its secular humanist self, as the end-all be-all of knowledge. And if it cannot discover something, that thing must not be true. And that's kind of my take on progressivism. And I will tell you that it's very difficult for me as a classical educator who has not gone through, quote, teacher training in a, you know, university. It's very difficult for me to relate to people who have been, quote, you know, well, they've just been trained in universities to think in a certain way and taxonomize everything and use little names for everything. It's difficult for me to relate to them because I can tell, even though they have good hearts and even though they know that this particular curriculum is bad, the basic paradigm is completely different. Even though these people want to go back 25 or 30 years, which is good, it's better than what we're doing today, they still have the basic premise that the goal of education is to get more information into kids' heads, or to prepare them for college, or to make sure that they can make enough money, or to make sure that by the time they come out of school, they know how to do X, Y, and Z, like Carnegie units, you know, like they have done this, they have done this. It's still a checklist. And a lot of times it's still, how fast can we get through the checklist? And just to contrast that with what C.S. Lewis is saying and what classical education would say is the point of education is to create a whole human being. It's to teach us to love that which is true, that which is beautiful, and that which is virtuous and good. It's the same thing to me as a Christian education. It's more about character than it is about coming out with a certain set of skills. Now, don't get me wrong. We clearly want our kids to have a certain set of skills, and they will come out with a certain set of skills. I think a superior set of skills because of the training that their mind has received. But it's very difficult to kind of want to go sort of the same place as, you know, your regular, quote, what's a good word? I'm just more traditional educator. We want to head in the same place. We want to head backwards, which is great. And I am all for helping us get 20 years back or 30 years back. But ultimately, I want to go 100, 200, 300, 400 years back. I want to go back before the Enlightenment, where we understood that divinity was the end of knowledge, that, or if you're not a Christian, then, or a believer, even if you're agnostic, that truth, beauty, and virtue are the end. They're the goal. They're what we're doing this for. And that changes everything. It changes everything. It changes the way that you view everything that you teach. So it's been rather frustrating to me to try to operate, you know, side by side with people because we need to. You know, if you're not against me, then you're for me. Hey, let's go in the same direction. But it has been challenging just because the terminology is so different, and there's a lot of, you know, I mean, I'm sure a lot of things that I say would just go over the head of traditional educators and vice versa. I think traditional educators are so much smarter than I am in so many ways, just because they have so much classroom experience, especially in that institutional setting, which, you know, a small private school is much different from a public school. So I haven't had the same institutional experience. And I can learn from that. But as far as just overall values of education, I think we're in different places. But I'm happy to still keep working together in the same direction. Now today, I want to read you a little bit. Ooh, wait a minute. You know what? I think I already read this to you, so I'm not going to read it to you again. I was going to read you What's Wrong with Outcomes-Based Education, but I just realized I've already done that. So let me open up the John Taylor Gatto book and read to you from it, because there's so much good information in this book. I mean, it's just, I don't know. It's so huge. Okay, so it literally is huge. This relates to what I was saying. I want to read you, this is from page 43 in his book. And what chapter is it? It's called An Angry Look at Modern Schooling. I believe that's chapter 2. Yes, it is chapter 2. Okay. Let's see, where do I want to start? Ooh, that's good. You know what? This whole book is good. I wonder if I should just read out of this book for a while as a podcast, as a separate podcast. Okay. Well, just for today, and maybe that is something I shall do since I want to take notes on it as well. Just for today, let's begin on page 43. This is called, it's a little subheading, An Enclosure Movement for Children. The secret of American schooling is that it doesn't teach the way children learn, and it isn't supposed to. School was engineered to serve a concealed command economy and an increasingly layered social order. To me, that means caste system, like in India. It wasn't made for the benefit of kids and families as those people would define their own needs. Oh, y'all, okay, let me stop. I know what I was going to say, and this just reminded me of it. Okay, I really feel like, I feel that God is talking to me a lot lately about this stuff. And so I was in the bank opening a bank account the other day, and two moms were talking. And I stopped them and I said, hey, they were talking about their kids. Do y'all have kids in the school system? Yes, we do. And I said, well, what do y'all think about this C-scope stuff? And the first mom said, well, honestly, my daughter is a junior and I just kind of want her out of the house. So she says she doesn't like it and her teacher doesn't like it, but I don't really care because I want her out of the house. And the other mom was like, well, I don't know what you're talking about. You know, I don't follow any of that. And she had a child in the public school. And then today I asked one of my health providers, I said, are your kids, you know, another, are they in public school? Yes, they are. What's their curriculum? Is it C-scope? Yes. What do you think about it? Well, basically what he says is, well, I just really trust my kids' teachers and I like them and I know them and I don't think they would do anything bad for my kids. And I think what parents don't realize is that the teachers are legally bound to not say anything about the curriculum. They can't say if it's bad or not because they could get sued. And that's just, if you want to look into that, look into it, but that's crazy. But anyway, what I really wanted to talk about tonight, this is so funny. I'm almost done with my podcast and I just remembered what I wanted to talk about is this very thing. How do you, that we have this paradigm of, it's 150 years of, well, not even that long, maybe 100 years of parents abdicating their responsibility to educate their children to the state. The whole feminist revolution thing, feminist awakening, sexual revolution, that was about getting women in the workforce so that the state would have more tax money. Kids would be totally parented by the state. Now, when moms were home, they could be politically active. They could be active in school. They could ask kids, what did you learn today? What's going on? They could be involved. I don't know what the percentage is now, but y'all, it's got to be like 70-80% of moms are working outside the home. Who's caring for the children? The state is, the government is. Who's caring? Well, or a child care center is. Who's caring for the political problems? Dads are working now like 60, 70 hours a week, and moms are working 40 hours a week at least. So who's taking political action? We have been duped, and it's been slowly like the frog in the pot of water that gets the heat gets turned up. We have been duped to think that we've just abdicated. We've been duped to think that the state is going to take care of everything and we don't have to do anything. It really shocks me when I hear parents say that they have no idea what their kids are learning and they don't care. And there's a big to-do by a bunch of Christians about the curriculum. And these are most likely, I mean, yeah, I've heard all these people talk about going to church. So they're all Christians, right? And they don't care. So they know that other Christians are up in arms about it, but they don't care. The apathy is amazing. It's just the most astounding thing that I've ever seen. This apathetic, it's like everyone's just asleep. Like that's where we get the term zombies. Like people are walking around like they're awake, but they're not. They're asleep. They're snoozing through life. Like, because what has happened is we've become convinced by societal paradigms that our job, quote, is to make money or go be this person in the community. I'm a doctor, I'm a lawyer, I'm a chiropractor, I'm a janitor, I'm a gas service person, I'm this, I'm that. I have a very important job in the community. See, that's socialism. That's what that is. So your first thought is not, I have a very important job at home. your first thought is, I can let somebody else do my job at home. Like, I can let somebody else educate my kids because I have a very important job outside the home. And y'all, that has been engineered. That has been engineered. That's not an accident or a mistake. It's not something that just happened. You have to think back. I always say, go back to Little House on the Prairie because that is such a good example. Think about that. All those parents were working. All of them had access to their children. All of them had family connections first. That was the most important thing. Even mom and dad who were working in the store had their kids with them there. That's where they lived. They lived and worked in the store. So it was a strong family connection, and this is what's broken down. And how do you even begin? Like, I think Wednesday I'm supposed to go and visit with some people who want to talk about C-Scope and Frisco. And I'm like, how do you even begin to make people understand how different the Overton window has been, as Glenn Beck says, from 150 years ago to now? I don't even know how to explain that to people. Like, this is part, and this is what people don't understand. This is a contrived system that was planned, and it's huge. It involves the sexual revolution. It involves cigarettes. It involves alcohol. It involves taxation. It involves politics. It involves education. It involves just everything that you can think of has been influenced in one direction. And it's hard to get people to see that because we want to look at things in little pieces, mostly because that's the way we were educated, in little subjects instead of holistically and classically. So, gosh, it's just really, it's difficult for me to hear things like that come out of the mouths of parents. And then I hear parents say, you know, not the same parents, obviously, but I hear parents say, oh, my teenager is just hellacious. You know, I don't know what's going on. I don't know what's happening. Well, I can tell you what's going on and happening. It's inhuman to take a child out of a family that God put it in and put it in a state institution 40 hours a week. That's not human. It's not human to take a baby from its mother at 6 weeks of age and put it in an institution with other babies in a room with two workers. I mean, we've just come so far off of how God created us. I don't even know what to say. I mean, it's like looking at a bunch of rats in a cage who've lived a certain way for so long they've forgotten how to be rats or something. I mean, I don't even know how to describe it. It's shocking to me. And I don't really know what to tell people. We can keep public education, but the way that we're approaching it is just totally crazy because the effort is not to create humanity. The effort is to create some sort of thinking machine. You know, humans are little calculators and they can take tests and they can go to college and they can get a job to be in the social order. Y'all, that's all socialism. That's not what humanity is about. And I mean, even the best of us, even the Tea Party, even the conservatives, they think like that. I just don't even know what to say about it. It's shocking to me. So anyway, I'm not even going to get through this little paragraph. Let me just try to finish this paragraph. So it says, school was engineered to serve a concealed command economy and an increasingly layered social order. Okay, it wasn't made for the benefit of kids and families. That's what massive corporate subsidies, which make a mockery of the free market, tell you. School is the first impression children get of organized society. Like most first impressions, it is the lasting one. Life is dull and stupid. Only Coke provides relief, and other products too, of course. That was funny. I think I might start reading the Gatto book, and it's only like 1,000 pages long, 400 pages long. It's huge. Wow. Crazy. But I might start doing that because, again, my goal is to disseminate information, and I think it's really important. So I think I would have to ask them first if that was okay for me to do that. But it's free online, so I guess it is okay. I don't know what the rules on that are. Okay. Well, that's it for me tonight. I just wanted to rant and vent a little bit about the apathy that I see around me. And even from those that do care, just the basic premise and misunderstanding, just the basic difference. So anyway, all right, well, I'll wrap it up and I will talk to you next time. Thanks. Bye-bye.